So some of you might have been looking at me from afar and you're going, wait, where is the sport coat? What is going on? And I'm wearing this because it's funny, but it's also a good sermon illustration, especially as we come into this series in 2026 on Back to the Basics. So this sweatshirt says, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. And of course, this is a play off of the Bible verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I mentioned and talked about this verse a couple of months ago in a sermon, how people use this verse in all sorts of ways. Like, it's on gym clothes, right? I can get the biggest muscles through Jesus who gives me strength. I can have a big savings through Jesus who gives me strength. Whatever. You just use it in all these different kinds of contexts. I can do all things through a Bible verse taken out of context. And this really fits well with this series that we're coming into in 2026 on Back to the Basics. And let me just say this, if you were not here last week to listen to the sermon, I really strongly encourage you to go online, go to the YouTube channel, or go to the podcast, go to the church's website, listen to the sermon last week, because the sermon last week helps you to understand why we're doing this, what compelled me as a pastor to choose this series and this theme for 2026. But let me just say this from the sermon last week. I want to quote from D.A. Carson and remind you of the quote that I shared last week that he said when he was talking about churches that go from orthodox to heretical. He says, this is the trajectory of those churches. One generation believed the gospel, the next generation assumed the gospel, and the following generation denied the gospel. This is the trajectory. You go from believing to assuming. As I think about that quote, as I think about this, taking Bible verses out of context, and I think about the sermon today, this sermon this morning is a preface still, introduction to the series, as well as last week's. But I'm reminded, and I go back to the days when I was in high school, and I took geometry. And some of you, your eyes light up that I said geometry. I think geometry, and I want to run. Now, my now mother-in-law was my geometry teacher, and she still let me marry Tracy, okay? But I had no idea this concept of like theorems and proofs and having to memorize these things and knowing that it was, I didn't know it was going to build on each other throughout the whole year, right? I'm like, chapter's done, new chapter, let's get into something else. And then like I'm taking quizzes and tests and like, why am I getting such bad grades, right? Like something's off here, me, right? I did not keep up with the basics. I did not keep memorizing so that I could do the proofs correctly. I just was like, oh yeah, I think that this would be the reason why this would be the case, right? Anybody, well, I'm not even gonna ask for a raise of hands. I'm like, anybody else like me? No, you're the only one, okay? But the point in me bringing that up is the basics, needing to understand and needing to know certain things or else you're gonna fail. Right? Or you think about this, I can do all things through a Bible verse taken out of context. This is happening all the time, right? I mean, I can listen to a sermon, I can read something in a book, I can see this misuse of the Bible verse in all sorts of things and go, oh my goodness, how did we get here? How did we get here? How did we get here? One generation believed the gospel, the next generation assumed. Then the following generation denies. Now, last week I went through certain questions and answers of a survey that was done last year. It's a 2025 State of Theology survey that's financed by Ligonier Ministries, put together by Lifeway Research. And it went through the beliefs of people in America. And I told you last week, I was just mostly concerned about what did professing evangelicals say of their beliefs. So last week's sermon, I just went through responses of professing evangelicals. And would you, who were here last week, would you join me in saying that the results were at least concerning? Would you? And that, Because these results showed a misunderstanding of the Trinity, our God, the misunderstanding of Jesus, wrong beliefs on the nature of human beings and our sinfulness, which means that there is, at a minimum, there's an assuming of the gospel, but there isn't a real full understanding of the gospel. Because the gospel is Jesus saves us from our sinfulness, right? And Jesus is God, right? And Jesus is perfect. And God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Right? And we have hope in these realities. And so, as I shared the sermon last week and as we come into this sermon today, I want us to ask ourselves this question: what have we neglected and thus are not passing down to the next generation of Christians? So again, this sermon today is a preface for the theme Back to the Basics, which by the way, I mentioned in the sermon last week as well, that this theme, Back to the Basics, is not only affecting the preaching that's happening on Sunday mornings, but it's also affecting our adult Sunday courses. And so the main idea of the sermon today is this: in order to not forget the gospel, and I'll add God's truth, just this, we need to keep remembering. Keep remembering. In order to, Lord willing, not take verses out of context, we need to keep remembering what the whole of Scripture actually says. And I want you to hear the Apostle Peter's pastoral and loving words to the Christians he wrote to in the first epistle of Peter. I want you to note the word remember or remind. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. Okay, so I want to focus on that last sentence here first. These things. What are the things that Peter wants to remind them of? Well, we gotta know the context. Before these verses, Peter talks about faith in Jesus, the grace of God, God's promises to them, and then he discusses how to grow in godliness. Okay, so God's promises, God's grace, God's salvation through faith, and growth in godliness. And then Peter goes on, and just look at how many times Peter uses the idea of remember or remind, verse 12, verse 13, verse 15, and Peter goes so far as to say, I will work hard to make sure. I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things. And this is very intriguing that the urgency of Peter here is shown, especially because he also says, the Lord Jesus has shown me I must soon leave this earthly life. Well, that's interesting. And yet Peter is saying, even after I die, I want to make sure you always know these things. And I think Peter is being such an example of Jesus. Because I can imagine Peter thinking back to when Jesus was walking on this earth. And if you remember, at times Jesus would talk to certain individuals and people would mistranslate the scriptures. And sometimes Jesus would say, have you not read? Right? And even the disciples, they would misunderstand and misinterpret the scriptures, right? And Jesus would teach them, and they would listen to Jesus. And then Jesus, before he's going to die on the cross, and he says he's going to ascend up into heaven, Jesus says he's going to leave. Now, if you were part of that discipleship group and you knew how messy you guys were and how many times you misunderstood the scriptures, and Jesus was always the one to lovingly correct you and show you what the scriptures actually said, if you heard Jesus say, I'm leaving, what would your thought be? We're done for. It's over. We are a mess. How can you leave us? Haven't you seen us? Didn't you know we, like... And yet, what does Jesus say to them? I'm going to send another helper to come to you. And he will guide you into all truth. Jesus ensures that the disciples are going to remember. Jesus ensures that the disciples are going to grow in the truth of Jesus Christ. And so Peter is mimicking the Savior when he's talking to these believers in 1 Peter. And he is saying to them, I'm going to work hard to ensure you always remember these things. And by the way, he already acknowledged, did you notice this? Even though you already know them. Did you hear that? Because some of you could probably, I already know that. Let's move on to something that I don't know now. And Peter is like, we need to always remember the foundations. If we go away from the foundations and we move into assuming the foundations, what did D.A. Carson's study reveal? If we move from assuming the gospel, then the following generation what? Denies the gospel. And so Peter is very emphatic. We need to remember, we need to remind, and even though we know, we need to know. Now, the sermon today, the title, Keep Remembering. What do I mean by remember? Now, I opened up, when I was studying for this sermon, I opened up my massive Bible software program on my computer called Logos, and I typed in the topic, remember. And it gave this definition. Let's see here. Where is the definition? Here it is. The process of recalling the past, especially the presence and activity of God in the history of his people. Now, I want to target and pinpoint two types of people here who might be naysayers up to this point. Like you hear the sermon on keep remembering, you hear Peter say, remember, remind, you need to be reminded even though you already know. And you could be sitting here going, who cares? Okay, there could be a type of person sitting here, and maybe your mentality is kind of like, okay, Pastor Timothy, prove it. Prove it to me. And if you have that kind of maybe attitude, I want to lovingly push back and say, if that's you, I cannot argue with you to give you the will to care. Can I just say that? What you need is to pray to the Lord to prove to your heart what he says is good and right and true. Secondly, there could be another type of person here. You're not like, prove it, but you're in a wavering position. As we enter into 2026, we talk about going back to the basics. For you, you're wanting to serve God, but there's these other things in the world. There's other kinds of sins that grab a hold of you, and you're like, can I have both? And I really want both. You want to be able to be a person who goes to the Word and studies the Word, but you know what? That takes too much time, and these things over here are really pleasurable. Can any of you relate to that, at least, even if you're not there right now? The Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, actually says, if that's you, you're a person who has wandered into nearsightedness, even to blindness, having forgotten that you've been cleansed from your former sins. What Peter describes that person, when he says, having forgotten that you've been cleansed from your former sins, it's an individual who's really struggling with assurance of their salvation because they're living in a different way than how they have been set free to live. And maybe that's you here. Like back to the basics, okay. I want to go back to the basics, but I also want my sin, and you can't have both. God is calling you now to repent, to turn to him, to pray, and say, Lord, help me. Help me to care about what you have to say more than what the world has to say. But others of you could be sitting here and you're in a different category and you're just asking, okay, why is it good to remember? Why is this an emphasis in the scripture? Maybe you're growing weary in your Christian journey. Maybe studying the Bible has become very difficult for you. Others of you, maybe you're growing encouraged. But we all could use more encouragement. I love how, as I was continuing to study, went into the Logos software, I continued the topic on remembering, and it added this. Remembering God's work in the past can lead to praise and rejoicing and hope in the future. Now, if you really want to say, why should we keep remembering? This is why. God doesn't just say, remember for remembering's sake. Remember so you have the information in your head, like back in geometry days. Just have the things memorized so you can get a good grade on the test, right? It's remember God's work so that you can praise him more, so you can rejoice in him more, so you can hope more in a glorious future that he's guaranteed. So when we went through, and when I've talked about D.A. Carson's quote, and we hear the results of the state of theology, our calling, after hearing those things, our calling isn't to be afraid and watch the church fall into heresy. Like, oh no, it's all a mess, we're all dead. I can resonate with that. I'm a little more pessimistic. But that's not the call. The call of us, when we hear those things, is to instead remember. Return and remember so that we can have greater joy, greater worship of God, and greater hope. So let me ask you this. Do you want greater praise, rejoicing, and hope for the future? Do you want that? Yes. You know? Then we need to get back to the basics and summon ourselves to remember. Now, moving forward in the sermon, we're going to focus on why we should remember, and we're actually going to give Bible verses to support this. Okay? And then we're going to move into how we're going to even be able to remember. So, let's jump in. Why? Why should we remember? And the first reason is God commands us to remember. That is a very good reason to do something. God commands you to do it. Therefore, there really should be no arguments. I mean, we still do at times, but there shouldn't be, because God knows what's best, right? Right? This is a good reason. The Creator who made you tells you to do this. Throughout Scriptures, remembering is an integral part of worship. I gave, again, the illustration of geometry class, and the reality is you can have an academic remembering of God, but the heart isn't affected. To remember is not only to have the academic remembering, but it's to call to mind so that your heart is stirred to worship and so that your feet are motivated to obey. Did you hear that? To remember is to call to mind so that your heart is stirred to worship and your feet are motivated to obey. Now, we're going to get to more of that in a few moments, but for now, let me just say, this should be our desire and goal in remembering, because that's God's design. For example, in Deuteronomy 5, we have a record of the Ten Commandments, and within the Ten Commandments, you have one of the commands in verses 12 through 15. God talks about how every single week the Israelites are to remember the Sabbath. What does the word remember mean there? Does it mean that every single week they're supposed to go, oh yeah, there's something called a Sabbath, and move right along and do their own thing? Is that what that meant by remember? No. It actually means that they are supposed to honor that certain day. They're to set apart that certain day. But there also is to be a mental remembering of certain things. In different places in the Scriptures, in talking about the Sabbath day, it is to be a reminder. Let's see here. It is to be a reminder that God is the Creator, that He rested in the midst of creation on the Sabbath day. In addition, Exodus 20, let me give another illustration of remembering in the scripture. So you have Sabbath, remember the Sabbath. Why do we remember? Here's one of the reasons why. God is the creator, right? And God rested, and then we are to follow in his steps. Another illustration in the Old Testament for remembering. Exodus 12 talks about the Passover meal, and it is to be a memorial day forever. The Passover meal is to be a remembrance meal. What are they supposed to remember through the Passover meal? What is it? What? They were passed over by the angel of death. They survived, and then God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. But they were saved. They live. Right? So you have two ideas of remembrance. God commands us to remember him as creator and us as creation, him as rescuer from the slavery from Egypt. We move on into the New Testament as another example. We have Jesus, and we're going to be celebrating the Lord's table in just a few moments. And in this Lord's table, it is to be done. What it is to be done, let's read these verses. The Apostle Paul writes, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" Read this with me. "Do this in remembrance of me." Okay? What? Then he goes on. "In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it,'" say it with me, "in remembrance of me." Who is the hero in the Lord's table? Jesus. And we are to celebrate communion over and 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 over again until Jesus comes to remind us of Jesus. And you say, "I already know about Jesus." How often do we forget what Jesus has accomplished for us? Every single day. Anytime you sin, you have forgotten something about our glorious Savior. Did you know that? And we need to be reminded again and again. My acceptance doesn't come because of what I did today. I am accepted, therefore I do. Right? I am loved. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. How do I know that? Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and prays for me always. Amen. Right? That we are to remember over and over and over again Jesus' rescue from sin and victory over death. These are glorious basics. If you go on in Scripture to look at other things that we're called to remember, we can go on and we can see all God's miracles and judgments we are to remember. That 1 Chronicles 16:12 literally says that. "Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered." So not only the miracles that we're like, woohoo, it's the judgments too that we're to remember. We're to remember the holiness of God in his grace and in his justice, right? Isaiah, the prophet, God calls us simply to remember the former things of old. "For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." We are to remember the things of old because he's God? What's the connection there? What's the connection between "I am God" and "remember the old things"? God is over all those old things. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust the God who is sovereign over all things. We need to go back and remember and keep reminding ourselves. Then we have God, through the author of Proverbs, saying we need to remember his word. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Don't forget. Let your heart keep my commandments. Now, there could be many more remembering passages I could go through. But I think this list could help us. And maybe for you, this would be a good thing. Maybe right now, get your phone out, take a picture of this. Print it out. Put it somewhere. Put it on the mirror in the bathroom or on your desk or some place. And then you can start filling these things out day by day. Different things that God has shown you about himself as creator and you being creation, right? Different things about how God has rescued you, not from slavery from Egypt, which is temporal, but from slavery to sin and victory over death. Different things, how God has shown you Jesus and his grace and his mercy, or you think about his judgments. And maybe sometimes when you read the Bible and you're going through Judges, for example, and you're like, oh my goodness, it's just like depressing. They just get punished over and over and over and over and over again. And my application is try not to get punished. Right? Like, that's what you're thinking. But there's something about the judgments of God that declare God's glory. And you can be praying, God, show me you. Show me more of you in this. Take this list. And with the urgency of Peter, say, okay, I'm going to work by God's grace to remember. To remember, to remember, to remember, and not to forget. Be proactive. God commands us to remember. There's also another reason why we ought to remember. It's because remembering God and his works lead to hope, praise, and obedience, which we talked about earlier, but here's the Bible verses, or some Bible verses for this. I want you to think about the prophet Jeremiah. You guys know the phrase that many people refer to when they talk about Jeremiah the prophet? He's referred to as the what? Weeping prophet. I want to be Jeremiah. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say, if you could be any character in the Bible, who would you want to be? Oh, Jeremiah. He was so sad. But he was so sad. Because Jeremiah lived in a horrific time period with much death, much suffering, much pain, much sorrow. And he wrote the book that we call Lamentations, right? Lamenting, crying. And in the midst of that book of Lamentations, I mean, every single chapter is just a different way of talking about how bad the circumstances are and a new way of looking at the sadness and why we ought to be crying and weeping and crying out to God for help. But in the midst of this book of Lamentations, in the exact middle of this book, and when I say exact middle, I mean the exact middle of this book. So if you know anything about chiasms, and if you don't worry about it. But if you do, this matters, that it's in the exact middle of the book. In the exact middle. Where is it again? Okay, so this is what he says. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay, Jeremiah doesn't say, I call to mind, and therefore my circumstances have changed. His circumstances don't change. It's still sad. It's still hard. But what does he say? This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Hope. What is he calling to mind? He is forcing his mind to not forget the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. Do you think Jeremiah felt that? To a degree, but probably also not. As he's lamenting and sorrowing over all these different things. This is so valuable for us. So valuable for us to see this example. Because, at least for me, when going through hardships, when going through difficulties, when going through pains in life, it's like I lose my brain. Have you ever experienced that too? And it's like, I have forgotten all the goodness of God. Oh! He's against me. Oh, there's this thing. Oh, what? And Jeremiah is an example. By the Spirit's empowerment, he is an example. Mind, think. Remember these things. Call this to your mind. That's what he doesn't just say, I remember. He called it to his mind. Therefore, I have hope. These are the things he called. That's why I said, write down things. Right, take that list and start writing things down, because I don't know, when I lose my mind, I need sometimes something to look at, to stare back at me. Did you forget about these things? Yes, I did. I need to call it back to my mind. The same thing happens in the Psalms so many times. And one example is with Asaph. God made promises, God follows through. God saves and rescues. God's steadfast love remains. What he starts, he finishes. He's not going to condemn you. But Asaph starts, and he says, he talks about the problems and the sorrows and the pains. What's going on? Everybody out there in the world, they seem to be enjoying all the good stuff. And here I am, following God and experiencing pain. But then Asaph rehearses. This idea of rehearsing God's works leading to praise, again, is found throughout the Psalms, but I'll just pick on Psalm 136, for example, where we talked about this before Christmas. Psalm 136, every other line is, "Your steadfast love endures forever." Be reminded, God's covenant love, his never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always, forever love is for you. It endures forever. And then we can look at God's works and we can say, you know what? Who God saves, he keeps. And you know what? Even when we fail, he still loves those whom he has saved. And he still keeps them and he grows them. Rehearse his works. Be astounded with God's love for you, because remembering increases our hope. Remembering increases our praise. And remembering compels our obedience. And that's extremely important to remember as well. Because sometimes people will talk about, yes, I remember that God loves me. And their definition of love means God approves of anything I do. Do you think that's love? I mean, if God approves of anything I do, then that can be very dangerous. I could be on the road to hell, and God says, well, good job. That's not love. It's very important that remembering compels obedience. Remembering he loves me then causes me to want to honor him. In Galatians 2:10, Paul talks about being urged to remember. And that remembering is to lead to obedience. He says, remember the poor. Now, do you think remember just means, oh yeah, there's poor people in this world? Is that what remember means? No. It's to think about the fact there are people who are poor, and God could be using me to minister to them, because Jesus came for the poor, and I was poor spiritually, and so I can minister the gospel to that individual. So remember, right? It's to call to mind and then act on it. In Ephesians 2, the Ephesian Christians are told to remember that they were once hostile to God. Why should I remember that I was once hostile to God? Why should you remember that you were once hostile to God? You might be thinking, oh, that sounds so bad. Like, I don't want to remember how bad I was. Well, it's not, God doesn't say remember that so that you can wallow in shame the rest of your life. No. It's to remember that the way you lived is not worth living. And you died to that way of life. And you have been set free now to walk in a new way of living. And so you can honor the Lord, and you are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. That's the Ephesians 2 context. Remember that you were hostile, but you are now his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Praise the Lord. Remember that. Remember that. You were a shattered vessel, and now you are being put together into a masterpiece. Wow. In John 15:20, Jesus says we're to remember that we're not greater than our master. Anybody know the context of that one? Why Jesus says to remember we're not greater than our master? The context is so that you remember that just as he suffered, you're going to suffer too. So then you find the apostles later on in the scriptures, don't be surprised by the trials that are in your life. You're not greater than your master. And so stop being surprised that the world looks down on you. Move on and praise the Lord. Endure the suffering and rejoice in him. You go on into the book of Revelation, we're called to remember seven churches. Does that just mean that you're supposed to be able to recite the seven churches? Can you recite the seven churches right now? And you're like, oh no, I can't remember. Okay. What it means is to remember the issues, to remember the things that they had forgotten and the things that they were called to repent of, so that we would be following after Christ and seeking after him and living in repentance. And Jesus is the lampstand at the center of our church here in 21st century Holland, Michigan. If we keep remembering, then we will have hope that fills us with worship, and that worship will spill out of our lives, leading us to obedience. This is why we need to go back to the basics. Yeah, but Pastor Timothy, I already know these things. Well, Peter already told you, even though you know it, you need to know it. Because I'll tell you what. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said this. It could have been somebody else in history. But he said, the gospel is like the ocean, that a little child can swim on the surface and yet will never be able to fully plumb the depths of it. So if any of us say, I already know it, well, in one sense, maybe, yeah, a little bit, you know some, but there's always more to know. There's always more to savor. There's always more to rejoice in. If we keep remembering, we will have a hope that fills us with worship, spilling out in obedience. And I dare say that if we live this way, then we will not be an assuming people. We will not be a church that lives in the assumptions. Will not be a church that falls prey to constantly taking verses out of context. Because by the Lord's mercy and grace, we keep remembering and we keep spurring each other on to do so. And that leads to this second point. How will we remember? How? I want us to think again what I mentioned earlier about Jesus with his disciples. And when Jesus said he's going to leave, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter, the Holy Spirit, did not only come for the apostles, but that Spirit has been sent and lives in this world amongst God's people to this day. Did you know that? And the reason why I emphasize that is I believe that the disciples, knowing that the Holy Spirit's going to come, that while they didn't know all the ramifications, we read about that in the book of Acts, there was great comfort that came to them as the Holy Spirit was on them. And that gave them the knowledge they could move forward, that they could honor the Lord, that they could follow after him. If they kept in step with the Spirit, then they would be following after God, obeying him until they die or until Jesus returns. So the Holy Spirit was an amazing comfort to them. How are we going to remember? First, the Holy Spirit. And so I want to ask you, how comforting is it to know that you have the Holy Spirit? There are two different places where, if I'm remembering correctly, two different places in the scriptures where we're told that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. One of the places, it's referring to us as individuals. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The other is corporate. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. You have, Christian, if you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've turned from your sins and trusted in him, you have God the Spirit at work in you. How do you think your life should be shaped, or how do you think your life should change since the Holy Spirit's in you? How different do you think your life should be if the Holy Spirit is in you? But I also want you to think about, as a church, we together ought to be praying, Holy Spirit, help us to keep remembering, and help us to help one another to keep remembering, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, together, unified. How different do you think churches, or how different, let's just go to Ventura. How different do you think Ventura Baptist Church ought to be from other organizations? How different do you think this group of people ought to be from other heretical churches? Other religious groups? Should we be different? Should we? And the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, Paul says in Romans, is the same power at work in us now. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. We need to keep in step with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, remember, 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 remember. Even though you know, remember. So let's go back to the basics, Ventura. Let's go back to the basics. And by God's grace, help one another to remember. I would challenge you to challenge yourself to think about conversations with people just this week. Maybe you know your schedule this week. You know who you're getting together with. Or maybe you're getting together with people for lunch today, whatever it is. Challenge yourself. Just bring up the gospel in a conversation. Don't assume the gospel. Lord, help me to bring up the gospel. Jesus coming, Jesus dying, Jesus rising. So that could be an encouragement, a challenge, a hope, a help for that person that I'm talking to. Go back to the basics, right? Don't assume. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. May our prayer be that the Spirit would give us understanding, an understanding heart that keeps remembering. Go to the Word, pray. So we see in the Scriptures, in order to not forget the gospel and God's truth, we need to keep remembering. Let's get back to the basics together. Let's keep remembering and then watch as hope, worship, and obedience springs forth in our midst. Wouldn't that be exciting? Let's pray to that end and take a few moments now to pray. Any areas where God may be confronting you or challenging you, to take some time to pray to the Lord, confess, and reach out to Him, and then we will pray corporately together. Our Lord Jesus is the one who says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Hear these words from the Lord to us as we dismiss. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. You are dismissed.